Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
This is my lovely family, my wife Shelley, our kids Isaac, Julia, Evan, and Emma, and they rarely travel with me because people like Shelley more than me, so I don't let her come. But our oldest, actually this, you know, it's just amazing how fast kids grow up. This picture is a couple years old, and man, the kids have are just getting bigger and bigger, and and so we are, as Brent was saying, we just recently moved back to Lincoln. I'm from Ord, Nebraska. Anybody know where Ord, Nebraska is at? Yeah, come on, give it up. For Ord, a town of about 2,000, I was raised in a strong Catholic family, one of nine kids. I was the baby for eight glorious years. My mom had eight of us in 11 years. You know, and I was the baby of that group, and then my younger brother came along 8 years later, and man, you know, kind of ruined that for me, but my wife still says I act like the baby. So anyway, so that's a little bit about us, but we are missionaries with Chi Alpha Campus Ministries. Let me see if I can get my clicker to work here. We good? Trying? I might need to just resort to the pointing clicker here. Go ahead and go to the next one. There we go. So Chi Alpha is a missions effort of the Assemblies of God, designed to send missionaries right onto college campuses, right where students live and go to school. Chi Alpha is on over 300 campuses around the country and many other campuses around overseas in Europe. It's called Students for Christ. And as Brent was saying, my history a little bit, you know, Shelley and I both went to the University of Nebraska. I lived in Lincoln for 13 years. And then my first ministry, God called me into the ministry. I was pre-med basically in college, and God called me to do ministry. The first thing I did in ministry was Chi Alpha. I went out and did an internship. We moved to Springfield, Missouri for an internship program. And then from there, we went to North Carolina, where I pioneered ministries at NC State University in Raleigh, as well as UNC Chapel Hill. And then we moved to Colorado, where I pioneered ministry in Colorado Springs. And now we're back here, where I'm overseeing the district. But during our time in North Carolina, you know, a lot of our students were excited because they could get a minor in religious studies. I think we were talking about that here at Doan. And a lot of our students were excited about that because they could take Bible classes on campus. And especially one class was a New Testament class taught by Bart Ehrman. And so isn't that exciting that students are able to go to public university and take these classes? Well, the difficulty with that is that Bart Ehrman is actually an agnostic. You know, he doesn't even believe that the Bible is the true word of God. And he wasn't teaching it from we were talking about this earlier, he's not teaching it from a merely academic standpoint. He's actually, the goal of his class isn't to help students to think critically about their Christian faith, but to tear down everything that they've ever believed, that the Bible is the true word of God. You know, I sat in on his class and I was witness firsthand how he would actually make fun of, he would laugh at students who would believe that the Bible was true. And on the campus, we actually developed a class for students who were going through that afterwards that you know, where they could come, and it was called the Ehrman Debrief, we called it. And students, I felt so sorry for, you know, these students. I remember these girls in particular that would come, and they would just be crying. You know, after the first couple classes, they would just, because they didn't know what to do. Because now this guy who knew so much more about the Bible than that they could probably ever know was just tearing it down and tearing down what they'd always believed. And, you know, students, you know, it is so great to see you guys here, and I've gotten to know some of these Doan students today. But they're at a critical time in life, you know, where they're open to new ways of thinking, new ways of behaving, like at no other time that they will be in their lives. And our university campus, as a lot of our professors know this and take advantage of that, especially for the negative. And so this is our indigenous tribe. You know, we're missionaries. Our indigenous tribe is college students. And that's who we're working with. And once again, they're going through three major changes. They're developing autonomy. Who am I? Who am I going to be now that I'm on my own? Now that I'm developed, you know, in this life on my own, who am I going to be? Am I going to take the same values that I was raised in? Am I going to take those values for my life, for the rest of my life? They're developing purpose. What am I going to do? What will my life mean in this world? And then they're developing meaningful relationships. Who's going to do this life with me? And basically asking, who will accept me for who I am? And really, our ministry on campus, in many ways, just it kind of meets those. It answers those questions when as students are developing that autonomy, as they're at, you know, looking for that identity. Our ministry comes in and helps them to say, your identity is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. You know, no matter where you're from, we want students to understand that their primary identity is in Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking back to our time in Colorado Springs and the student after student that we would meet, that we would welcome, these students were from good Christian homes. They'd grown up going to church and yet had never owned their faith for themselves. I was thinking of this student named Joe, and I remember even couple of years before I saw Joe on campus, I was at their church and I invited him to be a part when he came to the school. We were at the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs, UCCS. And I remember Joe, the second year we were on campus, he got up our first meeting, he shared his testimony. He goes, you know, last year in Chi Alpha was the first year that I had opened my Bible and read it and owned my faith for myself. And because our ministry came alongside of him to disciple him and show him, you know, who he is. And that's what we really want to do. We want students, as they're developing that autonomy, who am I, to find their identity in Jesus Christ. As they're developing purpose, you know, we want them to ask, you know, obviously they're college students so that they are there getting a degree. They're studying, or else they wouldn't, you know, be on a college campus. But we want them to ask, what does God want to do with my life? What's God have for my life? You know, not just maybe what do I want to do? Maybe what do my parents want me to do? Why did they send me here? But what is God wanting to do with my life? And if we can get students to ask that question, man, we can see so much change happen, not only on the campus, but around the world. And so we really, once again, see student after student coming with that really just aren't sure what's going on, you know, where they're at. And so getting them to ask that question of what God wants to do. And then as they're developing meaningful relationships, we need to have healthy Christian communities on these campuses to welcome these students as they're asking the question, who will accept me for who I am? There's a lot of accepting groups on our campuses nowadays. And we need healthy Christian communities on these campuses to welcome these students, to accept them right where they're at. And who, no matter who they are. And we run into student after student that are just looking for a community of people to plug into. You know, I was thinking back once again in Colorado when we were first on campus. We would run into these students. We ran into a couple of students. I remember Megan. She was a senior. And she said, I didn't even know there were other Christians on campus. And there were. She just, you know, had never been invited into a community with other believers, and as it turned out, Megan got plugged in with our ministry, and she an internship for her fell through, so she did a year back to our Chi Alpha group there, and now she's working in ministry now, and it's really an awesome story, and so we just want to continue once again to invite students into healthy Christian community so that we can help them find their identity in Christ and help them find their purpose and their purpose in life. And so Chi Alpha, so I get probably the most common question I get is, where do you get your name? Chi Alpha takes its name from 2 Corinthians 5:20, which says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And Christ's ambassadors in the Greek is, and I know there's probably some people who have taken Greek, I haven't, but it's Christou Apostoli, which means Christ sent ones. So we are Christ sent ones to the university campus, raising up students who will see themselves as sent by God to the university campus. we want them to become truly, in a sense, Chi Alpha, Christ-sent ones to the university campus. And so we, once again, working on the university campuses here in Nebraska. We just moved here, and did that work? Did I do that? Awesome. And so here's some of the campuses that we're working on. The University of Nebraska. Go Big Red, come on. You know, anybody? Nobody? Some of you? All right. Hey, they showed up. My alma mater. Won a game yesterday. That was nice to see. We have a Chi Alpha group out of Christ Place Church. Mike King and Tiffany Moeller are leading that. University of Nebraska Kearney, Nate Krizik is leading out of New Life Church. He was telling me at their first meeting of the year, they had 90 Koreans show up for their first Chi Alpha. They have a special Chi Alpha International meeting. So they have their regular Chi Alpha meeting, and then they have a Chi Alpha International. 90 Koreans showed up. There's 150 Koreans on campus. How awesome is that? And so just an awesome work happening there. Chadron State College, Sean and Jody Bonshoff, I don't know if your church is familiar with them, doing an awesome work in Chadron. The first three meetings, they've had over 100 students, so that's exciting. Other ministries, okay, now it's not working again. Go to the next slide. Other ministries that are happening, out of a local church in Hastings, a little outreach happening to the Hastings College. There's a church up in Norfolk and reaching Northeast Community College. There are youth pastors doing work there. We have a Chi Alpha group at Western Nebraska in Scotts Bluff. And so, you know, several things happening on the college campuses. And last but not least, we have Doane College. All right. Come on. Give it up for the Tigers, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Here we were at the orientation welcome, Brent, and two lovely ladies here helping, and we just, Tessa and Clara, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it, guys? We got to meet, I think, 98% of the freshman class, because everybody has to stop, you know, has to walk by our table. I was like, this is the most unique welcome event I've ever been a part of. And so just welcoming students, and I loved how this picture, I don't think it's really coming out here, but the cross is like glowing. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird, you know, that's like... What's going on here? You know, because the cross is glowing. And so God's got something for you guys for this Doane College. And we want to see something happening here on this campus. We want to help these students to find Christ, to grow in their relationship with Christ. We want these students to be healthy, mature believers that when they, as they're studying here, but especially then when they leave the campus. And so, you know, hopefully we can get some more stuff going here. I'm going to be doing a small group Bible study leadership orientation after the service today. So I'm excited about that. Hopefully some of you guys will get plugged in with some of the small groups that will be happening. But the reality is that we need to be reaching college students. We need to be sending missionaries out onto the college campus. Our college campuses in America really are the steering wheel of our society. As goes the campus, so goes the culture. The things that college students are learning, the way they're being trained to think and behave in our university lecture halls, those things become normative in our society. So the things that we've seen happen in American history in the last, 50 or 60 years, you know, the way America has changed, you know, we could attribute it to a lot of things, but I believe that it's because of the secularization of our university campuses in America, the things that our college students over the last 50 or 60 years, the way they've been trained, those things now have become normative in our society. And so we need to be there with the truth. We need to be there to help students to understand and believe what God truly has to say and what he has for their lives. And then because of the large unchurched population that we have, you realize that that young adults are leaving the church in droves. And over the last 50 years, church attendance for those under the age of 30 has gone to 40% of the population to less than 15% of the population now. And if the trend continues... there's a study done fairly recently in the last few years that if the trend continues, only 4% of this emerging generation will follow Jesus because of the trend that we've seen happen over the last decades. Did you know, and this is just a sad, I'm just sharing some statistics with you just because this is what's happening. This is reality for us. You know, there's a study, actually a couple of studies, one done by the Southern Baptists and another one, the Assemblies of God, the denomination we are a part of, did a study, and they found anywhere from 75 to 90% of high school students, once they leave youth group, will never return to church. And students are just turning their back on church in droves and not coming back. And so, that is sad. I mean, that should just really hurt our hearts. You know, too much has been poured into these kids' lives. Too much from families and parents and the church and youth group has been poured into these kids' lives for us just to send them off to a secular campus and hope for the best. And so we need to be there. We need to be there. We want to build a bridge between the church and the campus to help students to realize that, you know what? You don't have to check out. You know, your time at the university isn't a time for you just to kind of like, okay, you know what? You know, that faith stuff, all right, that was then. And so now I'm just going to start fresh and do something new. I mean, I can tell you story after story of students who decided, you know what, I'm going to stick with this, and how they actually thrived in their faith during their time on the university campus. How they, you know, it's not a time to die, but to thrive, because students, college students, they're at an age where they're the most ideal time, you know, where they really believe, man, we can change the world. And we can, with just a handful of college students, we literally can see change happen. And so once again, we need to be there. We want to build that bridge. And then I make this comment that I believe the university campus in America is the most strategic mission field that we have. Did I do that? Well, that's all right. Thank you. Without the debaptism thing, this would kind of be a funny picture, I guess. I don't know if you guys can read this. This is the blow dryer of reason. looks pretty funny, doesn't it? But what's happening, it's happening in campuses in Europe and now in some campuses in the Northeast that I've heard of, is that people are getting debaptized. People who have been baptized into Christian faith are now coming, you know, they're using this blow dryer of reason and they're blowing off. And I know, once again, you know, it's very sad. You know, this woman's kind of having a, you know, spiritual experience, you know, as this is happening, and people are kind of laughing about it. But that's the reality, that even on our college campuses now, at various places around the country, students are lining up to be debaptized because they're wanting to leave behind the faith that they had. But go back to that previous slide. But the last comment, I'm sorry. Okay, thanks. Let's try it. Hey, there it is. But I make this comment that I believe the university campus is the most strategic mission field that we have in America today. The future leaders of Crete, Nebraska, the future leaders of Nebraska and the country are studying on our university campuses right now. And literally, the best and the brightest from around the world are being sent to American universities to study, to get a degree. And so we have an opportunity to reach the top echelon of people from around the globe. You know, I ran into a missionary when I moved to Colorado. He was a missionary to Chile. And he came up and he said, oh, you're Chi Alpha. He goes, Chi Alpha is the best ministry the Assemblies of God has. And I said, amen. I mean, can you come with me as I speak to churches? I mean, and this guy, you know, is a world missionary. And he's like, no. He goes, you guys are the best ministry that we have. He goes, you know, we send out missionaries overseas, all over. And he's speaking mostly from his own experience. He's been a missionary for years. And he goes, we can reach a certain class of people in these countries. And, once again, in Chile, this is true, and I'm sure in a lot of other countries. And we do need to be reaching everyone with the gospel, don't get me wrong. But he made the comment, you know, but there's a certain class of people in these countries that we can't reach. We just can't. We're not, you know, we're just not in contact with them. But here's the deal. All these presidents of these countries and all these leaders, they send their kids to American universities to get a degree. And he went on to tell me a story of these kids that had been sent, the future leaders of Chile that were sent to American universities that, and we have access to them. We have free access. These Korean kids at the University of Nebraska Kearney, you know, a lot of them are from just amazing, you know, the way that they come, it takes a lot of money for them to be there. And so they have to be from some wealthy and a higher class. And we can reach them. And then they go back. A lot of them, you know, a lot of these students, some of them do want to stay in America, but a lot of these kids want to return back home. And we want to send them back and have an influence on there. So once again, the foreign mission field isn't necessarily over the ocean. It's right here. World missions is right. It's in our own backyard. You know, don't get me wrong. Shelley and I support world missionaries. You know, we support that. But we have an opportunity right here in America to reach the world. And I believe if we can change the college campus, we can change the world. And so, you know, our ministry, I stole this from Campus Crusade, I think. I don't know who I stole this from, but it made sense to me, so I'll rip that off. But our mission really, is really win, build, send. You know, if we just were to sum it up, it's just kind of win, build, send. You know, we want to continue to win students to Christ, through Chi Alpha. You know, the way we do that is just develop relationship with students in any possible way we can. How many of you know if you feed them, they will come? Yes, and that's why aisle lane 3 here, you know, they know pizza is coming. And free food, man. You know, I always say what's college students' favorite four-letter word that begins with F? Free. Okay, so... you know, if you feed them, they will come, you know. And our motto for our ministry, and this is going to kind of be the beginning of a message I want to share with you a little bit today, but our message to college is belong before they believe. I don't know if you've heard that kind of term that way, but really in Chi Alpha, what we want is we want, once again, a healthy community of college students that are just welcoming people in, no matter where they're at. No matter, we're not just out there just looking, okay, where are the Christian kids, you know, so we can pull them in. No, it's just like we are inviting people into our community, into fellowship with us. And so we would see student after student. I remember we had students that were, I mean, they did not know Jesus, let me put it that way. But yet they would, you know, when people would ask them, you know, so what are you doing? Like, well, I'm a part of Chi Alpha. I'm, you know, they were a part of our ministry. They'd come with us to retreats. And we would see their lives change. I remember this student, one of the recent ones in my mind is Kevin. You know, Kevin just got plugged in because I think some of his friends were playing video games, you know. And so he started playing video games with the guys. I think, now, forgive me, I do have an older son, and I know he, you know, he plays Minecraft, anyone? I mean, anyone? No, okay, one. I guess Minecraft's huge. So, you know, all my kids play Minecraft. But I don't know all these other games, but I guess you can, like, play with people anywhere around the world now. Right? So kids are like getting to know each other. It's an evangelistic tool. You know, so, and they're like, well, where are you? Oh, I'm in Colorado Springs. You're in Colorado Springs. So are we. I'm a college student. Hey, we have, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they're inviting students. So Kevin, that's how he got plugged into our group. And, you know, he just, we led him to Christ. He got water baptized at one of our conferences. And I mean, you know, it's just that kind of thing. Just inviting students no matter where they're at. But that's the power of having that community on campus. You know, I'm thinking also of this, Bryant at the University of North Carolina. You know, Bryant, he got plugged in. Man, he was a piece of work. I'm sorry. I'm just having this flashback. But anyway, Bryant, got plugged in because he was on the racquetball team, and some of the guys in our group were on the racquetball, club team. It was a club team. So they were playing racquetball, and some of the guys in Chi Alpha invited, hey, why don't you come to our Bible study? And so he said, I decided to give it a shot because I knew it would make my dad happy. You know, he's raised a good, you know, church kid, you know, raised in the church. And he knew that his dad was kind of always asking, hey, when are you going to go to church? So he said, I'll go to this Chi Alpha Bible study. And he said this. He said, that night changed my life forever. You know, and what he saw, and because I, you know, I've asked him, he said, what do you mean by that? He said he saw students his age that were actually living it out. He had never been with a group of students his age that were actually living the Christian life just outwardly. And he said that just changed him. You know, he saw these students really not just worshiping Jesus in a service, you know, or not just praying, but he knew these guys outside of that. And he knew that God, you know, had a plan. So he was pre-med. He's now a doctor, and he married a girl in our group, and they're, you know, going to be medical missionaries. This girl, Ashley, you know, cool story. So our first year at the University of Colorado in UCCS in Colorado Springs, we helped this girl named Danny move into her dorm room. Danny was from an Assembly of God church, and so we got to know her and her family, and we were moving her in. Well, her roommate, Ashley, you know, they got to know each other. Well, one night, Danny was reading her Bible, and Ashley goes, "What's that?" "What are you reading?" And she goes, "It's the Bible." And she goes, "What's that?" She didn't even know what the Bible was. She had no clue. She was just like, "Well, what, you know, what is that?" And, and Danny's like, "Oh, well, you know, it's, I mean, I don't know what she said, but probably something, well, it's a book, you know, that talks about God, you know, whatever." Well, Ashley was interested. She was like, "Wow, really? You know, can I read it? You know, this sounds awesome, you know." So she invited Ashley to one of her Bible studies, and I just love, don't you just love people that haven't been around church much? some of the things that they'll say, you know. So Ashley, at this Bible study, this big group of girls were studying, and she hung around till the very end, and she goes, you know, she said this to the leaders. She said, "I just can't believe out of all the people in the world that God knows me." Because what they were studying was so speaking to her heart and her soul. And she was like, "I just can't believe that God would know me and know me personally out of everybody." I mean, she, you know, it's just, isn't that cool? You know, we take so many things for granted, you know, because we've been around this for some of us, you know, have been around it for so long. And anyway, so Ashley gave her life to Christ, and I was able to water baptize her. For some reason in Colorado, they always want to get water baptized out on the mountain, outside in a stream, you know. And so I felt sorry for her because, you know, it was summertime. There wasn't much water, and I'm like, you know, I don't know if she was fully immersed, Pastor, but I think we got her done. But anyway, but we want to see that changed life happen in students' lives, but we don't want it to end there. We also want to build. We want to build a strong biblical or Christian worldview in these kids' lives. And we do that in Chi Alpha through, you know, having small group Bible studies by challenging students to raise up into a leadership position so that they can take ownership of working with their fellow students. You know, we need more people their age that, you know, they can connect with. And so really one of the strengths of Chi Alpha ministry is our personal discipleship. You know, just asking, once again, just asking students to come along with us on this journey of faith that we're on, that we're all on, and just inviting them into their life and then showing them what it means. You know, a lot of kids today, you know, have this mindset that, you know, here's my Christian life, which is, you know, basically a Bible study or Sunday morning, but then here's my real life, you know, here's my everyday life. And, you know, and I'll do this, you know, on Sundays or whatever, but, you know, this is who I am, you know, the rest of the time. And our ministry is showing them, no, this is your life. Everything that you do, every decision, everything is filtered through who you are as a Christian and your biblical worldview. And so in our ministry, kind of the way we termed it was students learn how to feed themselves, defend themselves, and reproduce themselves. So we teach them how to feed themselves, how to bring the spiritual disciplines in their life, defend themselves, why they believe what they believe, and then reproduce themselves. You know, our goal was that every student reproducing themselves in someone else every year. You know, just think about that. Just think about that. If we all were committed, you know, to reproduce our Christian life in someone else, trying to bring someone else along with us in the Christian life every year, you know, reproducing themselves. And then we want to send. We want to send students back out onto the campus and into the world as missionaries. And, you know, we do that, you know, sending back out onto the campus. You know, we do events, and Chi Alpha is, you know, all over, do all kinds of great events, you know, to welcome students into, you know, fellowship, you know, having a table or something, giving away. Did you already give, the winners already got their $50 gift cards? Oh, today? I'm doing it? Oh, no. Okay. I thought right now, if you're here, you can win. No. having students sign up to possibly win $50. I mean, that's great, you know. And we would do a thing on campus, spiritual readings. So we'd have a spiritual readings tent. Now, that sounds kind of intriguing, doesn't it? And students would think so, too, because they would come up and they were like, spiritual readings? You know, what's that? And so we would ask them, okay, well, you know, why don't you go in? And so there would be a group of us there praying, and we'd be praying, God, give us a word. Speak to us, Lord, about, you know, the students. So they would come in, they'd look at us like, okay, what freaky thing are you guys up to? You know, it was awesome. I loved it. And so we would say, well, here's the deal. We're a group of Christians. We believe that God speaks to us, and we believe God wants to speak to you. Would that be okay if we just prayed over you? And everybody would say yes. You know, I mean, maybe they just felt bad at that time. I don't know. But everybody'd say yes. So, because we had them, you know. And so we would just pray. And I remember this, I remember a lot of stories. But anyway, this one in particular, this one girl, and God just gave us vivid pictures for her and words that we spoke, and we were basically reading her mail. We'd never met her before, but we were just telling her, and she was crying. I mean, she was bawling her eyes out as we were just saying, and this has happened to you, and this is what God wants to say to you, and blah, 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 and wow. Just awesome. So, you know, just be inviting students with us into things like that where we can just be involved in students' lives. And, you know, we do things like helping students move in or just whatever, you know, just being visible on campus. And then, you know, we do missions trips. We take students with us overseas so they can get a broader view of the world. And then, you know, even some students, I already mentioned Megan, you know, some students decide to, you know, to give a year back to Chi Alpha and become missionaries. And then we even have seen many students go into full-time ministry from secular university colleges. It's so awesome. In fact, this girl, I don't know if you can see this picture very well, but this is Gina. And Gina got saved at the University of North Carolina. She got discipled through our ministry. She went and did a Chi Alpha internship, and now she's leading the ministry at UNC Chapel Hill. And she took over when I left. And, you know, just raising up students, which is awesome. But, you know, obviously we realize that not every student's going to be called into ministry. We'd be foolish to think that. But so really what we're trying to do is we're trying to prepare students no matter where God has you, no matter where he's called you to. We want you to be a missionary. We want you to be on mission for Jesus Christ and sending students out into whatever occupation, whatever workplace that they are in, that they would be a missionary. And so that's a little bit about, you know, Chi Alpha and what a little bit about what we're trying to do. And so pray for us. Pray for you had kind of a list there of the campuses. You know, the Doan College is part of it, but there's a greater work here in Nebraska that we're trying to do. Pray for us. And, you know, we're missionaries. We do the support raising thing and everything. You know, we're still trying to get settled in. We just moved. And so there's a table back there with some information. I'll probably be back there. If you want to, I try to send out a quarterly maybe prayer update. If you want to get our updates and stuff like that, come see me. I should have like a sheet of paper so you can give me your email or something like that so you can stay connected with us. But would love to just stay connected with our work and what we're doing. Okay, so we're ready for the next. Chris, if you want to put on the next presentation, Chris has got. You know, I think this picture that's going to come up here, usually married couples will get this right away. They'll look at each other and kind of nod and go, yep, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Let me break this down for you a little bit. I've been married, it'll be 20 years in April. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to just say, you know, it's this is how, you know, never mind. I won't say it. We're in church. Okay. But there's an on-off switch there. But no, I just think that's funny. So so with the rest of the time here, I just want to share something with you. But before we get to that, I was telling you before that I was from Ord, Nebraska, raised in a family of 9 kids. You know, I always say that when you go from having 2, I think you guys have 4 kids, right? You know, when you go from 2 to more, if 2 kids, you're playing man to man, okay? Which is pretty easy, you know? Then you have 1 more kid, and it's all of a sudden you gotta play zone defense, right? And kids are sneaking in behind you on the zone, you know, and you're not sure. And so my mom had 9 kids, so I was the 8th, so, you know, I wasn't sneaking. I was just walking behind the zone. You know, I was just like, hey. You know, I don't want to say my parents forgot about me much, but they actually did leave me in Grand Island once, which really scared me. Freaked me out. I thought the world ended at Grand Island, Nebraska when I was growing up, and I thought, okay, here I am. I just have to live in Grand Island, I guess. But, you know, so I was, you know, kind of left to your own vices, you know, as a child. You're just, you're thinking maybe the world revolves around you, and you start getting into, I got into all kinds of stuff. Not a lot of trouble, but I just got into a lot of stuff, you know. I won't go into all the, but the party scene. You know, I was like the party master. You know, I always wanted to make sure everybody was partying, everybody was having a good time. My wife says I still kind of do that, you know. Is everybody having a good time here? Okay. In high school and college, I just thought, you know, I was going to party the rest of my life. Got into drinking pretty heavily in high school, got into some drugs, but in college really seriously got into drinking and some serious drugs and other stuff as well. But that was my life, you know. And then I was like, you know what? I can't do this the rest of my life. And I saw, but here's what kind of started making me think is I saw people who were trying to do that, and I was like, I don't want to be like them. You know, I mean, that guy's only 30, he looks 70. I mean, what's wrong? Okay. So, you know, even at 18, 19, 20, whatever, 21, I was like, okay, I don't want to do that, but I didn't know what to do. I was stuck. I didn't, this is the only life I'd known. And so, I was once again, I can't remember if I mentioned this, but I was, kind of pre-med in college. So I got a job at a physical therapy clinic as an aide, and that clinic was owned by three strong Christian men. And God, how good is our God, man? I mean, God is so good. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. It'll be 21 years ago this coming week that I got led to Christ. But it was because of this job, these three strong Christian men. I saw in their lives what I wanted. I just didn't know how to get it. But it seemed to me they valued God. They valued work. They valued God, family, and work, probably in that order. And I knew that. But once again, and so I was, you know, I was raised Catholic, but I went and bought a Bible anyway. You know, if you're raised Catholic, you might laugh at that. But, you know, I mean, we just didn't ever, you know, get a Bible or whatever growing up. But I went and bought a Bible because I thought, okay, this has something to do with God. You know, so I'm just going to buy a Bible. So then I started like Genesis, you know, whatever, you know. I get to the begats and I'm like, you know, like, all right, I don't even know what's going on here right now, but I can't take this. What's going on? But fortunately, one of the guys, Steve, started loving and befriending me at a deeper level. We just hit it off, you know, and had a good time. And he started discipling me, you know, and these three guys were really discipling me. You know, they just invited me into their lives and what was going on. And man, once again, how do I get that? I remember, you know, working at a physical therapy clinic. Your son would enjoy this. Working at a physical, when you get injured, it's a great place to work, right? Because you're at a physical therapy clinic. So people are like just taking care of you, you know, and I pulled my hamstring playing basketball or something. And so I remember Steve was there giving me an ultrasound on my hamstring. And I was laying there and I just blurted out. I said, Steve, I just want to know what the truth is. I was so tired of whatever, running or just life. And I'm sure he was like doing backflips, you know, he'd been praying and he had the whole, he was at Christ Place Church and he had this church praying, you know, and everything. And I'm just like, I want to know what the truth is. And so he said, well, come bring your Bible and come over to my house. And so I went over this Wednesday night, September 9th, 1992, and went over to his house. And that was when I realized Steve was a Jesus freak. I didn't know that. You know, it's funny. I mean, it was like, okay, so he started sharing from the Bible and he started sharing about Jesus. And I'm like, oh my goodness, where's the door? You know, I'm like looking. And I just like immediately, he didn't say anything. He was just sharing who Jesus was. And I was like, no, thank you. You know, because I knew things were going to have to change. I knew if I took this step that he was asking of me, things would have changed. But that next week I was back on his couch in his house. And I said, Steve, I need to do this. And so September 16th, 1992, I gave my life to Christ. And man, I did a 180. I mean, my life did a 180. My friends thought I had taken some bad stuff. I mean, they were just like, what are you on? Because we're not going there with you. You know, I mean, and I was just like on fire, man. I was like, you know, telling everybody and everything. But my life, my life did a 180, and thankfully, I had somebody there with me. Steve, you know, obviously we worked together. He was my boss. But he was discipling me. And I remember that first week after I gave my life to Christ, a friend of mine came in from out of town, and he had some pot, and he wanted to go to the bars, and I went with him, and you know, we smoked and everything. I felt horrible after that and that next day, and I was just like, oh man, I've let God down. Well, great. Now I guess I can't do this after all, you know. And Steve just loved on me. He showed me the grace of God. You know, he was saying, you know, God forgives you, man. You know, and I remember being in his office just crying, you know, just like, I can't believe, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, and he was just praying with me and loving on me. And it's, I'm so thankful that I had someone there with me. And so I grew fast as a baby Christian. In fact, we had some friends come in out of town. I'd seen him for years. And one of my friends said, you know, you really matured quickly. And I was like, yeah, I did. And, you know, it's because I had somebody there with me through things like I just shared with you. Somebody that I was walking through life with. I saw their life. They opened up their life to me and walked with me. And I matured as a Christian. And you know, as I think back to that, and I think of where we are at today as a church, we need mature Christians today. I don't know. Maybe it's because this is the time that we are living in. You know, maybe this has happened throughout history. I'm not much of a historian or anything, but it just seems to me like, especially at our time right now in American history, we need mature Christians. We need to be raising up believers who are mature in their faith. And, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, I was just thinking how easily accessible so many things that our flesh desires are to us. All of us in America today. I mean, we can have just about anything we want whenever we want it. You know, it's kind of like it's just a free for all right now. And I was thinking back to when I first started working with college students back 16 years ago. And just these men were starting to explore internet pornography back then. And I didn't even know what that was and what it was. And now, I mean, just like how easily accessible things like that are to people is just, frightening. Maybe is the way. It's, you know, it's just scary, but we need to be raising up people who are mature in their faith because of this onslaught that is happening. And I believe, the Great Commission, if you want to turn in your Bibles, it's going to be up here actually. The Great Commission is, can I still control this? No. The Bible verse of Matthew 28, if you want to turn there, it's going to be on the screen as well. But I believe the Great Commission has the key for us. And so Matthew 28, 18 through 20, if you're not familiar with this, the Great Commission basically is Jesus is leaving the earth, okay? He's going up to heaven to be with the Father. And he had worked with a group of people. Now he's leaving them behind. And so this is his final words to them. This is like, here's what you guys need to do. And so he's given them their final instructions, you know, and kind of, you know, if you've read these stories, what's kind of interesting is some, you know, these guys almost still didn't get it, you know. It just is amazing to me how, you know, we're so thick-headed as humans, you know, it just takes us. But he's like, okay, here's what I want you to do. And so here's what he says to them. So Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you have not left us as orphans on this earth. God, you have loved us through eternity. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today through this passage, through your word. God, we are part of the remnant that you left on this earth to do your work. Show us what that is. Show us what that really means for each one of us in where we are at, Lord God. Show us what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you know, a lot of times we have focused on the go a part of the Great Commission, right? You know, it's especially a missionary like myself will come up and he'll highlight that go and, man, let's go get them. You know, we just need to get our butts out of these seats and go, you know, tell people and get them to confess, you know, this thing. And you know, we, a lot of times, that becomes the focus. And so, you know, a lot of us, you know, we'll have these guilty feelings like, I just don't go enough. What's wrong with me? You know, but it doesn't say, here's what I want us to get today. Here, if you don't get anything else out of this, here's what I want you to get. It doesn't say go and make converts. Okay. What it says is go and make disciples. And so the one thing, you know, out of this, my one point, Jesus didn't command us to merely gain converts, but to make disciples. Okay? Jesus didn't command us to merely gain converts, but to make disciples. Now, don't misunderstand me. Conversion is a very important part of the process, okay? And so some of you were a little nervous there. I could tell, you know, like, oh, what's he saying there? No. I mean, conversion is a part of the process. Remember, I was even telling my story about discipleship even started before I was converted. And in our ministry in Chi Alpha, that happens. But we've got to get beyond just thinking about converting people to Jesus Christ. You know, it's kind of like, as I was thinking, what's kind of a picture would be like parents having a baby, and then you just leave that baby and you just walk away from it and just, you know, hoping that baby will be all right. You know, while we've made the baby, but, you know, that baby is either going to die unless somebody else comes alongside and raises it. And so we've got to be involved with people in the process of growing and maturing. And this was Jesus' model. You know, Jesus could have been the greatest evangelist we've ever known about, holding crusade after crusade after crusade in town after town after town. And yet he focused, that wasn't his focus at all, was it? Jesus' focus wasn't to go and hold crusades and get people to convert. His focus was to work with a few people that he called to himself, pouring his life into theirs, because he knew the work needed to continue after he left. Robert Coleman, who wrote the book, The Master Plan of Evangelism, a book that Chi Alpha has based a lot of its ministry on, he said this: it all started by Jesus calling a few men to follow him. This revealed immediately the direction his evangelistic strategy would take. His concern was not with programs to reach the multitudes, but with men whom the multitudes would follow. Remarkable as it may seem, Jesus started to gather these men before he ever organized an evangelistic campaign or even preached a sermon in public. Men were to be his method of winning the world to God. He gathered these men before they were even saved and he called them to himself and started discipling them. And they spent, what did they do? They spent all their life together. They walked together. They ate together. They worked together. They were together all the time in this life. And that was plan A. There was no plan B. Jesus didn't have a plan B in mind. Plan A was to leave this work in the hands of the men that he had worked with. And that was it. And you know, what are the two words that he often used when he called these men to himself? He said, follow me. And follow me, you know, if we understand that, it means, you know, it demands our entire life, everything that we have, everything we own, think, everything we desire and do. Being a disciple demands all of us, our whole lives. And that's why we consistently see in the scripture where people are like, no, thank you. you know, the rich young ruler, you know, Luke 9, the end of the chapter there, where he's on the road with three men. You know, he's constantly calling, follow me. And people are like, well, I'm not sure I can do all of that because it demands all that we are. And so how does that play out in our lives? Well, you know, the first thing is that it's a lifestyle. You know, it's just, this is to be our lifestyle. This is to be what we are as Christians. You know, if we if we look at, you know, go and make disciples, what that could really, how we could actually read that is, as you go, as you're going through life, make disciples. As you're walking through your life, love on people, you know, get into people's lives. In Chi Alpha, once again, the way we do that is not just looking to add numbers to our group, which, you know, of course, makes a great newsletter, right? You know, we're all missionaries, you know, we want to make sure we have a good newsletter, but it's making sure we're befriending students, finding out who they are, where they are at in life, being together on campus, opening up my life so they can see how faith plays a part in everything that I do. And so it's a relational lifestyle that lets people in, and we walk with people through life and doing that. And the second thing I want to say is that it's for everyone. You know, this isn't Pastor Brent's job. This isn't just Pastor Brent's job. It's all of our job. It's not just a Sunday morning. We talk about church. We're not talking about just going to a Sunday morning service and hoping that Brent's got a good message, you know, and so he can disciple us, you know. You are uniquely gifted. God has brought you here to this place at this moment in time because he's got something for you and that only you can do. He's gifted you in a way that he hasn't gifted other people here. And so he needs you. The church needs you. You know, the church is the hope of the world. Amen. Would you agree with that? The church is the hope of the world. And we are the church. We are the church. This building is where we get together in fellowship. But we are the church. This isn't the church. And it's not, once again, it's not a Sunday morning service. So how can you join in on this? How can we join in and what can we do? And I would just say this. I'll give you a couple thoughts here. But Pastor Brent has been given the leadership of this church. God has called this man of God at this moment in time to lead this congregation, to help you guys find out who are you and where does God want you to fit in. But, you know, I would just ask, are you giving your talents, your relationships, your resources to see the church advanced? Are you asking Pastor Brent, what can I do? Who can I love on? What do you need? He would get really excited if all you would do that. If you would be just like, Brent, what can I do? You know, what do you need? You know, youth group, children's ministry. Oh, my goodness, the nursery. I would say, you know, that's probably one of the most important ministries we have on a Sunday morning, you know, is the nursery. Greeting people at the door, you know, welcoming people. You know, there's so many places. This is the work of the kingdom. This is kingdom work. E.M. Bounds said this. He said, men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men. And so we all need to join together to see this happen. And what, you know, just think, what would happen in Crete, Nebraska? What could happen in Crete, Nebraska if we were all to do that? If we were making disciples, if we were seeing people mature in their faith, you know, just think of what could happen in your workplace, in your neighborhood. Think of Doan Campus. You know, if we were raising up mature believers on that campus, think of the change that could not only happen on that campus, but and not only in the city, but around the world, around the state, as we send out mature believers from that campus every year, sending them out. And, you know, just think of the impact that we could have in our high schools. You know, think of the impact that this church could have if we would all become a part of the Great Commission to go and make disciples, to get involved in other people's lives, walk with them in life, to see them mature in Christ. Well, let me pray, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Brent, and he's going to close. Lord, thank you so much once again, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, once again for your work in our lives, that you love us, God. No matter where we're at, no matter who we are, what we've done, God, you love us and accept us, Lord. And we thank you so much for that. God, I pray once again that you would just, this word that I've spoken, God, I pray that you would continue to just bring it up into our minds and our lives. I pray that this church, God, would have a strong impact in Crete, Nebraska, at Doan Campus, Lord, for your kingdom's glory. Amen.